Greetings. This is Clarence Bailey III of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad in it. Today I'll be sharing a message from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. The title of the message is Kingdom Singles. Before the message on today, let us pray to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are great. Be with us now as we look to your holy word. Give us understanding and reveal to us what you want us to apply in our lives. Bless each and every person that is listening on today. Free us from distractions. Free us from wrong thinking. Instead, help us to focus, to think rightly and clearly. Be with me right now to give me the strength of your Holy Spirit to speak the truth. Please have your way in this time on today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I continue in our Family Matters to God series on today, if you are interested in hearing more of these messages in this series, I invite you to go to our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Click on the worship tab and you will find other messages in this Family Matters to God series. This morning, we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. The subject in which we will be discussing is the role of singlehood in the family. Regardless if you are single or not, this message has principles that can be applied to each and every person because what's going to be discussed is God's word. In this text, which may be familiar to some, this is the account of two sisters, Mary and Martha. In this scripture, it provides us the truth that every kingdom single is called to a deeper commitment and a greater service to God. Put in another way, to be a healthy kingdom single in the family of God, you're called to worship the Lord as well as work for him. Worship and work. That is simple. But often we all like to make that which is simple. We like to flip into something that is complex. Now I'm going to lay this out this morning right on the front end of this message. Overall, the church's emphasis on the family can sometimes inadvertently alienate singles and portray it as if singles are second-class members of the family. The focus may be on those who are married and children. And if we are not careful, we can forget that the family is made up of all types of people and different relationships. In other words, we can leave some people feeling like they're not part of the team and make them feel like they're not valuable. I'm reminded of a movie that I was watching with my children this past weekend, The Little Giants. Maybe you have seen it. It's a movie about a little league football team in a small town where two brothers who were now adults who were competing against each other. When the movie first began, there was a flashback scene when the two brothers, Kevin and Danny, they were kids and they were about to play football. Before the game began, teams had to be picked. Kevin, the older brother, was one of the captains. He and another boy were picking teams, and when the teams were formed, Danny did not get picked and felt like a second-class ball player. What made it worse is that his own brother didn't even pick him and proceeded to tell him that he was not good enough to be part of the team. Again, if we're not careful in the church, we can miss out on the blessings that God has shown us and that he has for those who are single in our kingdom family. Overall, the goal of this message is to help us think rightly about singlehood and the importance of pursuing God's will for our lives. I hope to share some of the blessings that are in singlehood, as well as how to have a fulfilled life in the Lord regardless. Also, I will share some warnings about singlehood to be aware of, as well as some practical points to apply to God's word. So, let's take the time now to look at the topic of walking in singlehood with God's power. Again, we must remember that healthy singles are the start to healthy families. Get into the scripture. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42 reads, "Now it happened as they went into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her.'" Up to this point, Jesus had been traveling along with his disciples and teaching them. The disciples had just returned after they had been sent out to witness for Jesus. Jesus had just shared the story of the Good Samaritan at a response to a question that a lawyer had asked him. Then the text transitioned to the story of these two sisters, Mary and Martha. And it is assumed that these two sisters were singles because in the Bible accounts in which they were mentioned, a husband nor indication that they were married was never mentioned. The man mentioned in their lives was actually their brother Lazarus. So for the purposes today, we're going to look at these two sisters as singles. In verse 38, it says that now it happened that as they went, that they entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now we come to find out later in scripture that Jesus was friends with these sisters as well as the brother. But this is the first time that we read about them in the scripture. It says that they went to a certain village. This place was actually Bethany. It was a small village on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives near Jerusalem. Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. She received him as a guest. The word welcome means that she practiced extreme hospitality. And some of us are very hospitable and they love it and they understand the importance of welcoming guests in their home. Think about the extreme measures that you take when you have a guest in your home, especially one that you care a lot about. Now multiply that times 10. This is how I imagine Martha went about and beyond. On the other hand, in verse 39, it says that she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Mary was sitting and listening to the teaching of Jesus. It says that she heard his word. Your Bible translation may say that she was listening to his word. Regardless, it means that she was paying close attention. She was giving her ear to understanding. And her intentional and reverent sitting at Jesus' feet and giving her ear to understand all that he was saying, she was doing something of utmost importance. She was engaging in worship. She recognized the beauty and the time in her calling to worship Jesus in this moment. That is a principle on today as we focus on how to be a healthy kingdom single. Kingdom singles must recognize the calling and privilege to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. Kingdom singles are called to worship Jesus. Now, on the other hand, verse 40 says that Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." This word distracted, don't miss me. It means to be drawn away, to be overly occupied, to be busy. Mary was not preoccupied. She was worshiping Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. Martha was doing a good thing. Actually, she was doing the customary thing, the thing that was expected in the culture at the time. If someone of dignified status visited your home, you were to offer the best hospitality you can offer. And there is no doubt that Jesus would have been recognized as a dignified visitor. So that's what Martha was doing. She's doing what is expected. It is clear here that you see a contrast. On one hand, we have one sister worshiping, while the other hand, the other sister is working. Mary, seemingly the lazy one, was seizing the opportunity to bask in the presence of the Lord. The Bible here says that there's a blessing in singlehood due to the fact that you're not distracted by the things of this world. For example, all throughout 1 Corinthians chapter 7, go back and read it at some time. It talks about how being single can have its benefits over being married in terms of advancing the gospel and God's kingdom. Basically, if you are single, you are in the best possible position to carry out God's kingdom agenda in your life. This is because in this text, especially in 1 Corinthians verse 32, it talks about how if you are unmarried, your focus will be the cares of the Lord. How it pleases the Lord. But those who are married, they care about the things of this world and how they may please his wife. In other words, how they can please their spouse. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not a knock against marriage because God instituted marriage and its relationship. The truth of the matter is that if one is single, they have the blessing of undevoted focus to the Lord and not with that which comes by being married. Let us not forget what we learned from Mary's example here. She seized an opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. In other words, she's worshiping the Lord. It is living a life of what Psalm 29 verse 2 says, it says, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Don't miss out on the beauty of praising. Don't miss out on the beauty of adoring. Don't miss out on the beauty of reverencing God. Now, what does it look like to practice this sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word? This may be a sermon more focused on singles, but it applies to all. Again, it is not complex. And in fact, I spent way too much time trying to figure out some creative suggestions on what this looks like to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. But like I said at the beginning, we can't make something simple complex. It is already hard enough with the spiritual warfare that we have to endure just to do the simple. It may look differently in regards to your season of singleness. Maybe you're single at the moment. Maybe you've never been married without children. Maybe you're single with kids. Maybe you're a younger single. Maybe you're an older single. Overall, all of these principles can apply to any of us. You have to seek the Lord individually as to what this looks like in your season. But simply put, to sit at Jesus' feet, some practical things that you can do. Number one, read the Bible. Read the Bible. And again, read the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Number two, fellowship in a Bible teaching church. Don't just go or attend. Be an active part of the family. Build healthy relationships within that body. Number three, have quiet times of prayer throughout the day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Number four, listening to biblically sound music. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Number five, be a part of a small group made of healthy Christian singles and have a Christian mentor. Hebrews 3, verse 13 says, be exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Again, read the Bible, fellowship in a Bible teaching church, have quiet times of prayer throughout the day, listen to biblically sound music, and be a part of a small group made up of healthy Christian singles and have a Christian mentor. Now, looking back at verse 40, Martha says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. The problem is that she was getting overwhelmed by the frustrations of doing all the work. And in Martha's eyes, just seeing Mary just sit there. We can't just look at Martha and blame her for this either, because we have all been there. How often, maybe at the job, when you felt that you were carrying the weight of yours and everyone else's too? Or maybe in your family, when you may have been in a season of caring for an ill parent and you may have felt that your siblings were not pulling their part. Or even when it's time to do the evening chores and you're assigned to wash the dishes or vacuum, or your sister and brother just run off and skip out on the work. Maybe you have been there. All of us have had a taste of this frustration that Martha was feeling here. Jesus answers Martha in verse 41. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. He says, Martha, Martha, you can get a sense here that Jesus is very sincere, and what he's really trying to get here, he's trying to push this truth and share with her. He said, you are worried and troubled about many things. We can imagine what could be worrying Martha. Maybe the house was not clean enough. Maybe there was not enough food that was getting prepared. Maybe she did not have the time to do the customary things when you had a dignified guest in your home. Whatever it was, Jesus said that she was worried and troubled about many things. That is a question for all of us on today. What are we worried and troubled about that's not worth it? Are we worried and troubled about our spouse if we're married, or finding our spouse if we're single? Are we worried about our health? Are we worried and troubled about our children? Are we worried and troubled about our finances? Are we worried and troubled about our job status? Are we worried and troubled about what people think about us? Are we worried and troubled about the things that we see in the news? That is the question. Are we worried and troubled? All of us deal with some type of worry and trouble. However, we must take what Jesus says in verse 42 to Martha. He says, One thing is needed, and Mary had chosen that good part, which was not taken away from her. He explains to Martha, you are missing the one thing that is needed, and that Martha had chosen the right choice, and I would not take it away from her. To understand this good part that Jesus is referring to, you must go back to verse 39, where it says what Mary was doing. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to his word. Here, based on what Jesus is saying, in view of the contrast of Mary's and Martha's actions, we can see the overarching big takeaway. To be a healthy kingdom single, especially, again, there's a calling that God has for your life to have a deeper commitment and a greater service to him. What Martha was doing was good in her service. However, there was a greater service in which Jesus was pointing her to. It was not the service of doing the customary thing, but a service that first must begin with undistracted worship of Jesus, the one who will direct and lead us in greater service that he has based his will upon. A healthy kingdom single must understand the unique position that God has them in and pursue a deep satisfaction in the Lord. Psalm 27:4 describes this nicely. It says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will see, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Is this your prayer? Or are you troubled with the troubles and worry about the many things that come with this temporary world? Pursue, which is life-giving and eternal. There is a woman in the Bible that this scripture reminds me of, which is also found in Luke's gospel, but is in chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. It says, now, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. In other words, she was single for 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. Again, to be a healthy kingdom single, God is calling for a deeper commitment as well as a deeper service unto himself. There is no doubt that kingdom singles are needed in the kingdom family of God. Kingdom singles, if they work in the deep commitment and service that God has called them into, the lost world will be even more impacted in a powerful way for God's kingdom. Singles have more freedom to serve in ways that others cannot. They have the ability to practice extreme generosity, especially those who do not have children to care for. With less family ties and obligations, there is more time to witness for the kingdom of God. Now, what does this look like in your singlehood? Now, I cannot tell you exactly what you should be doing. I can only generalize just to help you get started. But you do have to seek God on some important questions if you are indeed single. Some questions that you need to seek God on, if you have not already done so, is, why does God have you single? Another important question, what is God uniquely doing in you, with you, and through you that can only be done now because of the fact that you are single? Again, what is God uniquely doing in you, with you, and through you that can only be done now because that you are, in fact, single? I do want to issue some warnings, however, some things to be aware of, especially in this culture in regards to living a life of singlehood. There are many warnings, but for the purposes of today's message, I'm going to limit my warnings to just a few. Warning number one, pursue purity. You can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25 through 26. In general, Paul talks about singlehood and the importance of moral purity. It is high on God's agenda for singles to remain pure. Guard your hearts from distractions that can plant seeds of lust and lies. There's no coincidence that Satan has laid traps all throughout our culture that he uses to knock you off track, off the path of purity. Advertisements are full of lust and lies. The television is full of romance movies that are not based on Christian values. Libraries and bookstores constantly promote the latest romance novels. And not to mention social media and online dating sites that is full of vulgar content. Don't indulge in things that you will buy into a lie that you can justify living a life of sin. Warning two, know your value. Don't think that you do not have a lot to offer in your singlehood. God knows that you're single. God has it that way for a reason. You must know your value. Don't drop your standards in desperation. As a single, you can devalue yourself in many ways. Some include allowing people to pressure you into doing things that you shouldn't, going to places that you shouldn't, saying things that you shouldn't, having living situations like living with boyfriends and girlfriends in which you shouldn't. Know your value, Kingdom Single. Don't settle. There's a story of a man who was shopping at an antique store where the owner had a beautiful table for sale. The price on the table was $600, yet the man thought that he would try and get a good deal, so he offered the shop owner $400. The owner informed him that she would not take less than the asking price for the table. Their conversation continued for some time, and the man finally offered the lady $500 for the table. But the shop owner said, "No, sir, in fact, we have talked so much about this table, I have been reminded of its true value. The price is now $1,000. The lesson in this story is that our culture would give a Kingdom Single a lowball value of their value. If you hang out and read the culture's assessment of your value, you will start to believe it. However, if you connect it to the one who truly knows your value, there's no haggle price. You must be steadfast on your value. Know that you are a daughter of the king or the son of a king. 1 and 3, don't use your singlehood to be selfish. In verse 40, we saw that Martha was overly occupied with serving. Now, on the other hand, there can be circumstances that singles are not necessarily overoccupied with serving the church necessarily, but they can be overly occupied with serving themselves. This is because they may have bought into the lie that they are free to live their best life now. Some seek singlehood so that they can overly indulge in themselves, spend what they want, go to where they want, do what they want. Now, freedom is not bad, but freedom in the wrong motivation is terrible. Some see the freedom in singlehood as the only way to advance their personal goals or to keep for themselves. Don't buy into this life to embrace singlehood just to be selfish. 1 and 4. Don't idolize marriage. And don't get me wrong, marriage is a good thing, but don't think that finding a spouse will end all of your problems. The statistics don't lie that roughly half of all marriages end in divorce today in America. And then the reality of it is that half that are married are only enduring their marriages for convenience, finances, or for the children. Now, considering the marriage must be taken seriously, Tony Evans used an illustration in his Kingdom Agenda book in a section when cautioning singles about marriage. He posed a hypothetical question in regards to this statistic of half of marriages in a divorce. He said, if half of all the planes crash, wouldn't you be extra careful about flying? That's something to think about. Also, don't use your loneliness as an excuse to sin. Newsflash, there are a lot of lonely married people too. A thriving relationship with thy heavenly Father, who is love, is the only cure that will solve loneliness. You need to connect first with the one who knows where the right one is for you if indeed marriage is a calling for your life. Stop manhunting or womanhunting. Stop searching for the right one. If you are a Christian single, I encourage you to focus on the Lord rather than trying to find a mate. Let the Lord do the looking for you. Don't be dissatisfied as being single. Dissatisfaction shows that you're not finding your significance in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This was a beauty in the book of Ruth. Now, Ruth was not an Israelite, but she went back to Bethlehem with Naomi, even though Naomi practically guaranteed Ruth that she would never find a husband in Israel. But Ruth said in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, she said, "Entreat me to leave you, or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Ruth did not care about being single. She was committed to being devoted. We all know how the story ended. She married Boaz, but a great connection to make is that Ruth and the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. On today, the story of Mary and Martha will glean some important wisdom to apply to a lifestyle of Kingdom singlehood, that is, to pursue worship and work according to God's will. Kingdom singles are called to be humble before God, be responsible over which God has assigned them, and embrace the role which He has created them. and have an accurate understanding of his word, which can only come from sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing that word. Again, focus on worshiping God. Stop being overly occupied with the distractions of this world. God desires your complete devotion. On this journey of singlehood, there is one who was a great example, and his name is Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." It may be very well be challenging and walking in singleness, but don't forget that Jesus knows exactly what that is like. Jesus was not distracted by the expectation of others, not threatened by marriages around him, and yet had a deep and meaningful relationship with others. And for some, that is where you need to start, whether you're single or not. There's a deep and meaningful relationship that you may need to pursue. That relationship is with God, our Heavenly Father. That relationship can only happen through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is because God, who is holy and just in nature, and opposite, mankind is stained by sin. And as the Bible tells us, a holy God cannot tolerate sin and must judge sin. The Bible says that the penalty of sin is death. In other words, living a way that is not right according to God's standard will lead you to live an eternity in hell once this life here on earth is over. There is good news. This good news is made available. One who were committed to God and willing to serve His purposes. His name is Jesus, who willingly went to the cross and shed His blood because He understood God's requirement of having the shedding of blood to cover sins. Jesus' blood, because He was perfect without sin, His blood shed resulting in that death was sufficient to pay all the sins of mankind. To receive this free gift of salvation, one must confess their sins against a holy God, repent of those sins, and recognize that the Creator of heaven and earth sent His Son, Jesus Christ, as a sufficient sacrifice on the cross. Salvation is available for you on today if you accept it. Will you accept? Let us pray. Father, thank You for this time today. Thank You for Your message in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. I pray that You have revealed something to all of us today. Help us to take our worship of You seriously and to serve You the way You desire to be served. I pray specifically now for those who are single. I pray that they will always know their value in You, Lord, how You have blessed them in this season to be undistracted and to be totally devoted to You, Lord. I pray against lies and traps that Satan has laid out to hurt those who are single, especially. Instead, Lord, may Your kingdom be done in their lives and they will have fulfillment beyond understanding. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Clarence Bailey III, church planter of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, if you have a prayer request, or have decided to make Jesus Lord of your life, we would like to hear from you. Please call us at 757-710-6843 or visit our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Also, I invite you to join us at 11:15 on Sunday mornings in the Outreach Center of Exmoor Baptist Church, located on the corner of Akahana and Main in Exmoor, Virginia. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in His Word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessings be upon you and your family.